I'm glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. I'm glad your mercy has followed me. Set me free.
us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, God, oh, God. Oh, the joy that came to me when I knew that I was free. And when the Savior found me, put his arms around me. Oh, the joy that came to me. And oh, the joy that came to me. Oh, when I knew, oh, yes, that I was free. And when the Savior found me, put his arms around me. Oh, the joy that came to me. And oh, the away down in my soul. Oh, I feel something away down in my soul.
Well, it's the life of him who died to redeem this soul of mine.
I feel something away
down in my soul.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Woo, glory.
Hallelujah.
The song. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Woo, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Woo, Jesus. Precious Lord, precious Lord, precious Lord. Well, it's all. It's keeping me alive. Glory, I don't know what to do. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Glory. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Precious Lord.
Keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me. And
Thank you, Lord. I'm going to start back.
Touch me again. God reaching out, touching his people, giving us a comfort. Just want to lift my hands and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being able to come into this haven of safety. This tower, we can run into it no matter the situation, no matter the trouble. I tell you, those songs were talking to my heart, the different, the way, this choir number from to the band number. I was thinking about the choir number and, the band number, and it was touching my heart. I'm trying to recall the words now, but talking about trials and tests, having an understanding of what it is or what it means to go through those, you know, and we have a freedom in that. You know, other songs that were coming into play, you know, about the joy that we had, you know, the joy when we were free, we've been made free. You know, it's not just a free to do whatever we want, but we have a freedom in God to live for him. We have been unshackled from this world and what sin, you know, we were sold out. You know, whenever I was born, I already had a sentence of death on my life. From the day I took my first breath, I was sold out. Adam had sold me out. I was of his seed, and sin was in my life from day one. That manner was in me. I had nothing to do with it, but that was it. But in that other song, when we were talking about being redeemed, you know, we were purchased with a price. The precious blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ, to give us that opportunity to have a spirit like he has to dwell in us. That was all those songs were just going over in my mind. And I was just thinking about that. That thank the Lord. Thank the Lord here today that we have been redeemed. You know, and it's not just, oh, you know, all right, I've got joy now. I'm happy. I can just go on my way. But God, now it's, Lord, where, send me. Where can I go? What can I do for you today, Lord? How can I lift your people's hands up? What can I find myself doing for you? I just want to say that I was thinking about that type of joy. You know, real joy. It's not just the joy of just being happy for happy's sake, but I have a joy in knowing where I'm at today. I have a peace inside, a peace that passes all understanding. And it's that sweet Holy Ghost that ministers to my heart whenever I do need, you know, like the band number, but I really, really appreciated that band number, and I could see how it was touching your heart. Because there's a joy even in knowing in sorrow or in correction. You know what? Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, that you love me enough to correct me. You love me enough to not let me just go wherever I will, but you're trying to train me up, Lord. You're teaching me your ways. You're teaching me how to be righteous, upright. You're teaching me that I need to be mature in you, Lord, and I thank God for that. I want to lift that up today. I want to say, God, thank you for having mercy. That's that mercy right there. You know, a lot of times you think about, you know, the mercy of, you know, he died on the cross for us. But, you know, that's not all. You know, now what is my part to play? I want to receive everything that he has for me. I want to have ears to hear. I want to have eyes to see. And also in that band number, you know, or maybe it was one of the other songs, I can't remember now, but I think it mentioned something. Was it about a refiner's fire? Was that the band number? And I was I'm not going to try to take this out of the context, but I just wanted to read this in I think it's Zechariah. I was just thinking about a refiner's fire. In Zechariah 13 and 9, this is just, I'm not going to go into the prophetical meaning. Brother Smith can touch on that later, or one of the others, brothers. I believe it's referring in these passages here, because above it talks about being scarred in the hand and being betrayed in his friend's house. So it's talking about Christ, and also I believe later on about the early church time frame. But in this it says, I'll bring the third part through the fire, but and I will refine them as silver. You know, we've we've mentioned this before. I know I've heard it over the pulpit. I've never been a refiner, but I've got a chance to see sometimes on like maybe on the Discovery Channel or something of that nature, when they're putting those precious metals into that fire, and you see that, you know, when they mine it out of the ground, it doesn't just come out in pure, beautiful gold brick form. It's not how it comes out. It comes out with other impurities in it. There's other things that are around that. And they put it into a certain temperature to get all the impurities to rise to the top, so it can get those out of there and just have that pure gold, which is precious. I was thinking about that, about accepting, about accepting correction, about accepting when God is working in my life, when He's working something out of my life. Because, you know, as a father working with his children, trying to teach them the right way, sometimes, you know, as a human father, it's hard. You don't want to have to correct them or hurt them in any way, but you realize I've got to teach them the right thing to do. It's for their safety. And so many times, if I don't teach them, I'm doing them an injustice. They can be hurt because I'm lazy or I'm not doing what I know I need to do. But thank the Lord, we have a Heavenly Father. He's not like me. He's going to take the time to put me through those trials and those tests. And I think it was Brother Smith relating today about that sister years ago who was talking about her husband knew basically what buttons to push, and she could make her so angry. And I was thinking about that as far as, God, when those impurities come up in my life, don't let me turn a blind eye to them. Don't let me try to cover them up like that serpent nature wants to do. But let me say, God, help me. Help me to pull those out of my life, Lord. Help me to submit whenever things are coming my way. You know, I think another place. Let me finish that thought right there. Third part, through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Is that not precious right there? He said, I will say, it is my people. God will say, those are my people. Those are my children. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. And then another place, I believe it's in Peter. You know, it's in James. I think to the scripture about in adversity consider. And I think about in my life, you know, God, you know, I don't want to just think about in adversity, I'm in trouble. But in an adversity, in those trials, in those tests, that I can say, thank you, Lord. In all tribulation, I can glory in that. And not in the tribulation itself, not in what's going on with me at that time, but that it's God. If I submit my life, if I'll be that willing vessel, what can He do in my life? What can He do to help me to get that much closer to Him? And here in James it says, in James 4 and 8, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts. I was thinking about that purify. Once again, it's about being purified. And I thought about Sister Weiniger. Another part, she does that poem about the potter. You know, and I think about that pottery that was in the oven, and how it was, you know, the fire started getting hot. And what was the pottery doing? The pottery was like, whoa, God forgot about me. He's got to get me out of here. And it was trying to get out of there, and then it ended up getting broken, right? But then later, he puts it up on the shelf, and then he takes it back down. And he starts working it again, putting that water into it, and starts massaging it and getting it to be malleable again. That's the way I want my heart to be. I want it whenever God's trying to talk to me, when He's trying to show me something in my life, that I'm willing to see what's going on, that I'm willing to see what He's trying to work on, that I'm willing to see that God is trying to save me. You know, He's done so much for me. He's put that precious Holy Ghost down inside, but I need to let it have its perfect work. I want that to grow more in my life. And it says, ye sinners, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Oh God, I want to present myself today. I want to humble myself down before the Lord and say, God, I need you more in my life. This world is a rough place to be in, but I want to humble myself. I want to give myself more to Him. And I was, it's funny, when we were talking about fire in that one song, I was thinking about the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, you know, that's a wonderful story of faith. But those men, in my mind, I'll just confess, when I read that sometimes, it becomes a comic book. And what I mean by that is, it becomes fictional. Because it's so great of a thing that happened, that occurred there, that it's almost like I take it out of reality. I don't leave it in that these were three young men who really existed, Brother Curtis, who really had problems, who were just normal people that were put in this circumstance. And they, at that time, they chose what? I mean, literally in this sense, they chose to go through the fire. They could have, you know, I don't know if they could have split town, if you will, if they could have left, but they could have what? When he said, look, the next time you hear the music, I want you boys on your knees. You know, the first time someone goes up to play, they could have been like, all right, we're done. That we were joking. That's, you know, I don't want anything to do with that fire. I don't want to go in there. They done heated it up seven times hotter than it's supposed to be, and it would have burnt us to a crisp beforehand. I want nothing to do with it. Now, how anticlimactic would that story have been if we'd have still had that in the Bible? And the three Hebrew boys chickened out. Wow. That's a faith builder, isn't it, Sister Inez? But they didn't. They didn't. They said, we're not careful to answer you in this. You know, our God is able to deliver, but you know what? If He doesn't, so be it. We will not bow down. We will serve our God no matter what. You know, they were willing to go through that fire, naturally speaking. I want that same type of spirit in my life, spiritually speaking. I want to say, God, I won't bow down to the pressures of this world. Like Brother Smith was talking today, you know, if it's a music influence, if it's a so-called friends influence, if it's taking me away from you, Lord, oh God, get it out of my life, Lord. I don't want nothing to take you away because I don't want the world. You know, there's a song that says, I thought for a moment Dolores was going to go down that line where the joy was going on. This joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. But guess what? I can give it away. I can count it for naught. I can just throw my joy away. And then turn around one day and say, why am I not happy? Why am I not fulfilled? I wonder why. Because I turned my back on God. I'm not going to do that. God willing and His help with the Spirit, I want to go forward today. I want to get closer to Him. When the Spirit comes in like this, I want to reach out to it. I want to grab as much as I can. I want to be a clean, purified vessel. And let that Spirit flow over me. And hopefully it'll flow over onto my brothers and sisters. So that when we are walking, like you said, Brother Paul, you said before, when we're walking on the job, when we're in Walmart, wherever we're at, people will see a difference. Our shadows may not just heal people, but if they see something different. Because it's dark out there. But I want to be a light in this world. I want to let my light shine before men. Not for my glorification, but for God's glorification. Because He is worthy of all praise. He is worthy of all honor. What has He done for me? Everything. What was I deserving of? Death.
God, let me humble myself before You, Lord.
Oh, God, let me get closer to You, Lord. Let me open up my heart and hear what He's saying to me, to hear these precious things. You know, today when Brother Smith was talking in Bible study, you know, he's talked about that before, talking about the breastplate of the on the ephod with the high priest and explained about the stones. But today, once again, though, when he was going over that, it was that joy right there because it was like, I get it. That's so cool. It makes sense. I mean, I know it sounds funny, but it was in my mind. I was like, that is so neat. It all fits together. and to be in a place where I can hear those precious truths and just pick up one more thing, I don't want to count that for naught. I want to lift it up. I want to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving a prodigal like me who sold his birthright, who said, I'm out of here, and then ended up eating with the pigs going, what is this about? And getting an opportunity to come back here again and sit in a heavenly place with my brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. I want to be thankful today for that. I want to praise His mighty name. He is worthy of all praise. He is worthy of all praise. Nothing need ever praise out as a rock or a tree, but He has the children of God here to lift Him up, and we have true joy and liberty in His Spirit today. So I just wanted to get up and say those words. It was that song service was just ministering to my heart. And you know, the Lord has been working on me today. See, it's not anyone else. It's not any one person. The Lord has said, I tell you what. What was Sunday, Brother Painter? Sabbath. Okay, well, Sabbath, Sunday. So God said, you know what? I'll tell you what. I took a Sunday off before. I'm not taking this one off. I'm going to work on you today, boy. On Sabbath, Sunday, He was showing me some dross in how I was reacting to situations, or how I talked, or what I said, or even how I avoided maybe doing some things, taking my responsibility more seriously. And I want to accept that. I want to say, God, show me my heart. Show me, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And that's what my heart is today. I want to get up and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come and be with my brothers and sisters in the house of God and be ministered through song, through the choir, through the band. I mean, that's beautiful. That is so beautiful. No one had to even get up behind here. But in those precious words, in that the brothers and sisters laboring in the Spirit of God, God using them to be able to touch our hearts. You know what? Y'all throw something at me if you ever see me sitting on you. If you don't see me clapping my hands, or I was going to say clapping my feet, jumping around a little bit, or praising God, yeah, throw something, Sister Jody. Say, what's wrong with you, boy? Are you dead? I don't want to be dead today. I'm alive in Christ. Praise the Lord. We're alive in Christ today. That's that freedom. That's that life right there. We're not bound. If you get up and praise the Lord, no one's going to look at you funny. You know what? We're going to get up and say, hallelujah, too. Woo! I know your Savior because He's mine too. I love Jesus. How about you? Excited? How about that? And I'll go ahead and also we have a visitor here today, Brother Richard Dixon. You can see Brother Richard. We just try to be led of the Lord here. If you feel a song, a testimony, something on your heart, share it with us. We look at when people come through those doors, God sent them this way. Because you can't err in to the way of the Lord. God leads His people. And everyone coming through that door, we want to entertain them as if we're entertaining strangers, or as angels unaware. So thank you for being with us today. We really appreciate that, brother. He's from Little Rock visiting. Chidama. Chidama. God is good. We know that one. All right. Thank you for being with us, sister. Thank you. You want to go on to prayer, brother? All right. Let's go ahead and take our petitions before the Lord today. I know that Sister Elsie, Brother Al, she still is very desirous of our prayers. I know we had special prayer for today. All right. Sister Pat Arthurs. Brother Durham having that trouble. Let's remember him. Elder Sister Smith. Let's remember her. Sister Sandra York. Oh, I'm sorry, Sister Sandra Wilson. Okay. This is her leg. Well, see, I felt that. Sister Sandra York also. Let's remember her. Sister Karen Golden. She's been suffering quite a bit. I think of Brother Larry Bryant quite often in his job and being in that truck all the time. Brother Ernest Dodson, he just keeps saying it's just age. So I know he's having some troubles. Anyone else here have a need that you want to bring up before the Lord tonight? Receive an offering or no offerings? All right, if we'll stand, take our knees before the Lord, the great physician. Oh God, we appreciate you, Lord. Thank you so much, dear God, for all that you do for us, Lord. Wonderful Savior, dear God. Each and every one of these needs that have been mentioned here tonight, dear God. Oh Lord, Sister Elsie, Lord, you know her need. Dear God, going through this treatment, dear Jesus, lift her up, Lord. Brother Ron Johnson's wife, Lord, help her and her needs, dear God. Brother Shelby, oh Jesus. So many that we bring before you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, that you help Brother Ernest Dodson, Lord Jesus, and his Sister Pat Arthur's when she goes through her procedure, Lord. Oh Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Oh God, we're dependent upon you, Lord, to help us each and every day, God, with these needs, physical and mental, Lord. Oh Jesus, God, bless our visitors tonight, Lord. Oh God, the rest of the service, Lord, to fill your wonderful presence, Lord, to fill your spirit, dear God, your servants, dear Jesus. We appreciate you. Thank you so much, Lord. Oh Jesus, thank you, Lord.
Brother
thank
Fisher, we might ought to have prayer here. Brother Bobby Main from Lowell, I believe. His brother-in-law had a massive stroke this evening, and they're on their way to Little Rock Hospital with him. And some of the family, I think Brother Sister Main and others, are traveling with him. Let's have special prayer here for his brother and for that family.
Brother.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Blessed Lord.
Oh, Jesus. God, you can touch him right now to where the doctors will not even understand, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Touch his family, dear God, as they're going through this time, dear Jesus. Oh, God, keep him, Lord. Oh, Lord, he's in your hands, dear God. Dear Jesus, we know, Lord, we have to just ask you, Lord. Oh, God, help him, Lord. Keep them safe as they're traveling to Little Rock, dear Jesus. Oh, God, dear Jesus. Oh, Lord, we're reaching out to you, Lord. The waters are troubled, Lord. We want to get in, dear God, and fill that spirit, dear Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you.
I know you're going through the fire. It's getting hard to stand the heat. But even harder is the wondering, is God's hand still on me? Lonely in the flames when you're counting days of pain. But the potter knows the clay. How how much pressure it can take, how many times around the wheel, till there's submission to His will. His grand and beautiful design, but it'll take some fire and time. It's gonna be okay, 'cause the potter knows the clay. Friend, I just came through that fire not too very long ago. God was in control. On the hardest days I'd cry, oh Lord, isn't it about time? But the potter knows the clay, and how much pressure you can take, many times around the wheel, till there's submission to His about time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Praise God. Well, that's something that's very necessary to understand about God and salvation, your soul to be saved. God, it takes God humbling you. It takes you humbling down and yielding yourself before God. And you can't do that without the Holy Ghost. The reason you can't is because the Holy Ghost is a new nature. It's a nature of the Lord that must be born of. Adam's nature is you can't form it into the things of God. It's it's impossible to make something that's crooked really make it straight. But this Holy Ghost nature, God has to put you in that scripture we was working on this morning in Ephesians 4, to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness. That's that humility, that the Holy Ghost, that's why God wants you to go through that rebirth, is because there's a death in that. You have to die out to your will. And everybody's different. There's families that are built so strong in pride that it's hard to die. It's some, you know, it doesn't matter who you are. You don't have to be rich. Some of the poorest people in the world are the proudest people in the world. But God wants to, He wants to humble us where He can mold us. He can't mold you without a new birth. It takes that, the Holy Ghost nature, it's humbling to receive it. You got to die to get the Holy Ghost. You've got to, it's a new birth, and you have to die out to your will to ask God to give it to me, no matter what. You have to do, Lord, to help me, to save me. And then, with all lowliness and meekness, get to a place where you won't resist God. You know, I know what it's like. I mean, even though I've had the Holy Ghost since I was 12 years old, I still know what it's like to feel that pride inside of you to resist God. When God starts dealing with you and you begin to resist Him because you're afraid, you don't know what God's fixing to do to you. You don't know what you're fixing to do. You know, you see other people go through these, you know, periods of touching God and God touching them. Let me tell you something, everybody needs that. Everybody needs that. In fact, you need it more often than you're getting it, probably. We need it. We need to be humble before Him. We need to yield to His Spirit when His Spirit's moving. And because that's when God will touch your life and begin to work inside you. Work, you know, it trains you in a way. You're going through, you know, the Holy Ghost nature itself is a nature that's a sinless nature. But that nature doesn't have a way to manifest without your mind. See, and that's what God's working on. He's working on our minds. He's transforming our minds. He's changing the way we think. Remember what Jeremiah said when he prophesied. God said, "This is the covenant that I'll make with my people in those days. I'll put my words in their mind and write it in their heart." See, that's the difference in the old covenant and the new covenant. In the old covenant, you couldn't get this wrote in your heart. It couldn't become a part of you, your nature. you could memorize it, the laws and the ordinances and the statutes, you could, and the commandments, you could memorize them. You knew they were right, but they couldn't become a part of your character because your character was that of Adam's. And you, this nature of the Holy Ghost, for it to become a part of us, this humility, this humbleness that God brings to you when you receive the Holy Ghost, then he can begin to work in your mind, to get your mind to begin to work together with the nature of God that's resident and abiding in you. And God has to take us through things to get us pliable, flexible enough that he can work with us. And it's a work of God that's taking place in your life. It's not man. There ain't no man could do it for you. For you to get God's laws in your heart, or it's, you know, in other words, it's part of your nature, that you think like God, you're righteous like he is. That's a work of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God that you're to be born of. The religious world out here, Christianity, and I don't feel like they're intentionally doing this, but they're mistaken to tell people that they're born of God when they repent. You're not born of God when you repent. When you repent, what you get is forgiveness, and it's a decision to turn from the way you're going in life and follow God's way. That's what repentance is. It's, God, I'm going to change my life and commit myself to serve you and live for you and go the way that you lead me to go. That's repentance. Recognizing that I need God and my life needs to change. That's repentance. God, when you turn to God that way and with a godly sorrow, that's what the scripture says. It says that godly sorrow works repentance that needs not to be repented of. When God deals with you and God begins to humble you, and only God can do that. You know, he may do it through words of a minister. He may do it through songs like this song. He can just do it by dealing with you with his spirit. But you have to respond. You have got to humble down before God. You've got to want God enough that you'll finally fall down and ask God to please come into your life and change you and recognize your need for God, for him to take a hold of your life. You've got to have that. And, I've watched people. I've seen people resist. That's the opposite of meekness. They resist that. They resist when God deals with them. They just can't give in to it. They can't yield over to it. They can't break down. The best thing you can do when God's dealing with you, just fall prostrate and just begin to yield everything you can yield to him. And God will even have to help you do that. Let me tell you something. You can't just break. You just can't break down. And God begin to humble you. You can't get humble. Sometimes it takes several sessions for God to get you to humble down, get to a place you can yield over to it. At first, you'll just, you may cry a little bit. You might have a tear or two. You may feel something in your heart, but you can't get to a place where you see people that's bawling and just totally yielded over to the Spirit. Not everybody can get there. You can't get there at first, hardly. Some people can better than others. But this world will make you, it'll make you calloused. Your conscience is calloused by the things of this world. You may not realize it, but you just can't humble yourself. About as far as you can go, maybe just a little tear, a little cry. But you really don't get much of God in that. It may take several touches of God to really really touch you in a way that God could really help you. Did you know He's patient enough and He's loving enough and He's got enough mercy and grace to touch you in whatever measure you can actually be touched? In your response, in your yielding to God. And then, you know, but God will keep touching you if you'll keep responding to Him, keep reaching out to Him, keep calling. You finally get to a place where when God touches you, you'll just break down. Let me tell you, there ain't any better feeling than the Spirit of God just drenching you, just taking you under where you don't even, you may not even know who you are for a while. You just know God's dealing with you. He's touching your life. Everyone needs that. There's not anybody that is exempt from needing that. We need that. We need to be pliable enough that God can mold us and make us into what He wants us to be. And it takes yielding, and God has to take you through sometimes pressures and dealing with you. Because this is not to be an idea in your mind. It's finally to be a part of your character. This Word of God, of the Word of righteousness, the responding in a righteous way to every situation in life, is finally to become a part of your behavior. Automatic behavior, because it's in your character. It's just because this is just you. God has to do that for us. God's got to make us into righteousness, His righteousness, His workmanship. So I want to encourage you, those of you that haven't really, if you haven't received the Holy Ghost, if I was you, I'd be asking God to give it to me. And every time there's a move of the Spirit, I'd come up here and I'd start asking my brothers or sisters, I'd tell them, help me pray for the Holy Ghost. I know I need it. I want to be born of God's Spirit. I want that nature inside of me. I want Him to be able to form His nature, develop it. See, when you first receive it, you're not developed, you're just born. Then God's got to begin to work it with your mind and get your mind to line up with that nature, where you begin to get a quickening and you start thinking, you know, with righteous thinking, and the Spirit of God in you will bear witness of that kind of thinking. And God has to transform you and get you out of thinking like the old Mickey Smith, the old, you know, whoever. You know, put your name in there. God wants you to quit thinking like you think. He wants you to begin to think like Jesus thinks, like He thinks. Jesus got the mind of His Father. It took Him time. He had to go through a fire. Luke 12:49-50 there. It said, think not that I came to bring peace, but rather I came to bring fire on this earth. And what if it's already kindled? And then He said, I have a baptism to be baptized with. And He said, and how am I going to be straightened until that's accomplished? That lets you know Jesus knew there was something wrong with Him. Even though He was born of God, He was God's only child. All of us were of Adam, but He was of God. He came here as a Son of God in the womb of Mary, but His Father was God in heaven. But He took on the seed of Abraham. He took on that human body and was made like unto His brothers, so that He could be a faithful high priest. He came here to go through what you and I are going through. And He realized, I have to go through a baptism. I've got to go through some fire. There's got to be a baptism of fire. See, the Bible talks about water baptism, Holy Ghost baptism, and fire baptism. There's three baptisms. And water baptism is just that goes with repentance. when you repent, make a commitment to serve God, you have to make a public confession and a public obedience to be baptized in water. That starts off the humility process. God just wants you to, if you really mean this, then be humble enough to just make a public confession. And just get stand up before everyone, your friends or anybody that, you know, and be baptized in water. Just show that you're going to die out to the old life that you've been living. And when you come up out of the water with a commitment that I'm going to serve God, I'm going to follow Him, and I'm going to obey Him, and I'm going to endeavor to serve Him the best of my ability. And then you're in a frame of mind to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and be born of His Spirit. But you're not born again until you speak in tongues. God, let me tell you something. God's language is a language this world can't understand. And that's a sign. It's a sign. It's a sign for those who receive it. It's a sign for others that see it. When you hear yourself speaking in tongues, you know something's happened to you. Thank my Lord. But it's a language. It's speaking in unknown tongues is a language. Don't get that confused with the gifts of the Spirit of the gift of tongues. That's a known tongue. That's a gift where God allowed people to speak in a language they didn't understand themselves, but it was a language of someone else. It was like our sister here from Nigeria. If somebody spoke in tongues tonight in Nigerian, she'd probably understand what they're saying. But you might not understand what you're saying if God used you to speak in that language. That's a gift of tongues. I'm talking about speaking in an unknown tongue. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, Paul said, speaks to God. And God, if He can get a control of your tongue, you're yielded. See, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And God has to, for God to get your heart, for God, you to yield your heart over to Him enough to where He can get a hold of your tongue. And He can use your tongue to cause it to begin to flop up and down, make a sound that you don't even understand, but you know there's a power that's working in you that's doing something that you've never done before. That's, he said, how did he say that in Isaiah? With stammering lips and other tongues, how's that scripture right there go? There it is. Will he speak to this people? Well, on the day of Pentecost, those people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues. That was the comforter. That was the sign of being born again. Jesus told them, go and wait in the upper room. Not many days hence, you'll receive the Holy Ghost. The last thing he told his disciples, you know, when he met with them there after he resurrected, or I should say the first thing, he told them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. It was so important that before he went back to heaven, he gave them the message again. Before he died, he said, I'm going to send you another comforter. I won't leave you comfortless, but I will send you this comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And then on the day of Pentecost, or before it, he met with them again, told them not many days hence, you shall receive the Holy Ghost. Promised the Father. God promised that they would be born of His Spirit. He told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You got to understand, there wouldn't be anything different from the old covenant and the new covenant that would save you eternally if it wasn't something that would transform your nature. And it takes a new birth to do that. And so you need it. You need that, but after you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then God will begin to develop you and cause you to mature in the Holy Ghost. And that's what that fire does. That's what this molding of the clay does. It begins to develop you and transform your mind and your spirit, and the Holy Ghost nature all begin to line up and develop where you become more and more like Him. And you become less and less like Adam. Finally, Adam is overcome. The Adamic nature no longer exists. That nature dies, and you eventually, if you overcome sin, the sin nature, that nature dies out. It doesn't have a mind to operate with because your mind's moved over to the Holy Ghost nature and the way of God's thinking. But it takes time for that. It takes God to form you in that and develop you in that. And it changes everything about you. You're a new person. You're a new creature. And it takes all of God's light, takes God's workings, the gifts of His Spirit, and it takes all that God gave Christ. That God wants you and I to have, so that we'll have the fullness of God. I want the fullness of God, don't you? I want to finish my course. I want what God's called me to be. And I know that I haven't arrived. I haven't achieved all that yet. But I know if I'll keep serving Him, if I'll keep yielding to Him, He'll keep developing me. Look what He said, what Paul said in the 5th chapter of Hebrews when he said, well, let's read it in Hebrews, the 5th chapter. I'm not going to talk here much longer, but I just thought I ought to say something about this because there's people here that needs it. There's people here that needs the Holy Ghost that don't have it. And it's not a shame not to have it if you didn't know you're supposed to have it. What would be a shame if you came here and you didn't find out you needed it. If you came in the house of God and nobody helped you to know you needed to be born of God, that would be a shame. And we're not going to let that happen to you. Not in this place. God's called us a higher calling than that. We've got a greater vision than that. In the 7th verse of chapter 5 of Hebrews, it says, "Who in the days of His flesh," talking about Jesus, "when He had offered up prayers and supplications with strong cryings and tears unto Him," that is God the Father, "that was able to save Him from death." See, Jesus had to be saved from death. He had death, like Brother Fisher was saying tonight. He was born and death was hovering over Him, just like it is you and I. And He knew that if He didn't finish His course of overcoming the Adamic nature and being perfected in God's nature, that He would die. He was subject to death. But He prayed with strong crying and tears unto Him. I'll tell you, there ought to be something inside of you and I that caused us to pray with strong crying and tears, asking God to help us and save us. You ought to feel this death of sin working in your life from time to time. You ought to feel it, know it's real, and know that you're not going to get out of it. You're not going to escape death if God don't help you. You ought to feel that. And there ought to be some times when God deals with you strong enough that you ought to begin to cry and weep and say, "God, help me. You're going to have to help me." God will have to humble you before you even get there. And humble enough to break down and realize how much you really do need God. See, you can get around this. You can feel it. You can feel good about it. But you can never become a part of it, and it can never become a part of you if you don't respond to God and if you don't get the understanding of what your response needs to be. And Jesus cried to Him that was able to save Him from death. See, that needs to be our cry from time to time. "My God, Lord, I see there's corruption in me. There's things in me that needs overcome. and I need your help. And I know what you've called me to. I know you've called me to righteousness. You've called me to overcome this. And I need help. I need you to help save me from death. And he was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect. See, he wasn't automatically perfect. He had to be made perfect. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So, Jesus had to learn obedience just like you and I do. And it's by the things we suffer. Sometimes God has to, you know, he has to deal with us. He has to put us in places where he's putting pressure on us. Puts us in the fire. He puts us in some hot spots to let us know. You know, I need to work something in your life. You're not exactly where I want you to be. I'm going to make a change here. When you feel that pressure coming, just start yielding to it. Trying to yield and ask God, God, help me to get this. Help me to get the lesson. And obey whatever it is you're asking me, more of me. What is it you're asking more of me? And help me to get it. Because if you don't get it, you'll have to go through the fire again. But it hurts good. Let me tell you something. There's no more wonderful feeling to know that God loves you enough to correct you, enough to even chastise you and instruct you and lead you and guide you and have him working in your life. There's no greater calling than that, to have God working in your life and transforming your life. So I just want to encourage you tonight to I don't care who it is, every one of us in here, we need more of him. And we need to yield more to him. And we need to, respond to God more. And especially those of you that, you know, if you haven't received the Holy Ghost, let me encourage you. Humble yourself enough to begin to want it. Ask God. Let me tell you something to do. This works. I can tell you it works. Start asking God. Just say, God, help me to want it. I evidently don't want it bad enough. Help me to want it. If you don't think God will answer that prayer, you just try it. You just sincerely ask God to help you want the Holy Ghost. Brother, he'll deal with you. Don't you think he won't? And he'll begin to help you get enough boldness to swallow your pride and humble down and begin to cry out for it. No matter, you know, I've seen a lot of people try to pray for the Holy Ghost all over them. They won't let their tongue go because they're afraid of what it's going to sound like. It don't matter what it sounds like. Just let it go. Let me tell you something. Little babies can't talk plain when they first start talking. They just jabber. I got my first little great-grandson. He's learning how to say pawpaw. And I really think that's the first words he ever said. But no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. His grandpa probably would argue about that. But he just jabbers all the time. I can't understand hardly nothing he says. Only thing I can understand he says is when he says, Papa, Papa. I know he's calling on me. If he ain't, well, I'm making it that. Anyway, but he just jabbers. I can't understand what he says. Well, when you get the Holy Ghost, you don't know how to yield over enough where the Holy Ghost will really begin to vocalize through you. It's just, you know, when you first start out, it's just la 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 la, or just jabbering. You know, just you don't, you know, you just start out jabbering. Just go ahead and jabber. Just be a baby in the Lord. And let the jabber come, whatever it sounds like. I'll tell you one thing, it won't be very long. You yield deep enough, there'll be a language come forth in you. You may not understand what you're saying, but you'll know God's talking. You know the Lord's using your tongue. And it'll get clearer and clearer. And even later on, you kind of get your own Holy Ghost language. Like Brother Clyde Patton used to say, he used to just say it. He wasn't speaking in tongues, but every once in a while something would happen. He'd like it. He'd say, Shondai. Somebody asked him one time, said, what does that mean? He said, I don't know, but it's good. He said, I say it lots of times when I'm speaking in tongues. Shondai, he'd say. So some of us picked that up, you know. We'd use that. Somebody would do something we like, we'd say, Shondai. Brother Clyde Patton, one time, his coon dog, you know, he had a new coon dog, young one, and he's training it, and he turned it loose, and the dog struck a coon, his dog. He heard it. Oh, oh, oh. He said, Shondai, my coon dog. Well, he was happy about that. He was glad for that. He just showed you his mind was on God even while he's having fun. Anyway, you'll get your own language sometimes. You're speaking in the same. Then every once in a while, I've told God this. I've said, God, let me speak in something that I've never spoken in before. Just give me a new witness of the Holy Ghost. My Lord, one time I asked God to do that, I sound like a Chinese man, I don't know what I was preaching in Chinese or some kind of language that sounded like Chinese to me. Maybe it's Japanese or Taiwanese or I don't know what it was, but I know it wasn't anything I ever talked in before. I enjoyed that because God gave me a new witness. And so, anyway, I'm just trying to help you to just turn loose and let God work in your life. Let Him fill you with the Holy Ghost. Let Him bless you. I'm telling you, you're in something that's the greatest thing. It's the very part of that song Sister Cindy was singing about, the beautiful design of God. For the whole creation of everything He created, He created it because He designed in that creation salvation for whosoever will. Let him come and drink of the water of life. That's the Holy Ghost. Freely. It's available to you. It's not for just a few. It's not for just some, but it's for whosoever will. Let him come. Hallelujah. So I just wanted to say that to you tonight to encourage you. Don't draw back. Be meek. Walk worthy of this calling. Be lowly. Humble yourselves. Be meek. Don't resist God. With all long suffering. That's it. Go through. Let go ahead and suffer your will to put down. Let God's will work in your life. Go through whatever suffering you have to go through. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. Go ahead and let God take you through a suffering process to help you get to a place where you can yield to him and do his will, and he can form you in his character. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I know I'm preaching to you. I just meant to talk, but anyway, I got wound up. All right. Praise God. All right. Good.
They had service one night. And after service, some of the people were standing around talking. And the little boys, I thought about our little boys and little girls here, they got to playing, and they got to play in church. And they wasn't, they wasn't cutting up or anything. They just play in church. I know when I was growing up, we liked to play church, and we got pretty serious about it. And that's the way these children were doing. And so the adults was visiting, and they kind of kept an eye on them and everything, and the children just kept playing, and they got so involved. And first thing you know, it was serious, just real serious. And you know, and then one little boy got up and talked. He was like the preacher, and they was real serious. And they got, one little boy needed the Holy Ghost, And they got so serious, and they got to praying for him, and that little boy got the Holy Ghost. I thought that was so wonderful that even though they began to play church, they got serious. And the Lord seen their hearts, and that little boy, 8 years old, got the Holy Ghost. So I just really felt like telling that. Well, partly to help our children, our young children. And not that you have to play church to get the Holy Ghost, but if you're doing that, you know, if you have to be playing, you feel the Lord will just yield to it, like Brother Leninger, or pardon me, Brother Smith said, just yield to the Lord and all. And so I know when we was growing up, we had Baptist kids all around us, and they come over to the house, and we got to play in church. They liked to play church. And we got out in the orchard and got to playing. And those Baptist kids, I mean, they like to play church. They like to come over to the house because we would sing, we'd testify. And I guess if we went a little farther, they'd got the Holy Ghost too and all. But I just really felt to tell that since this happened. I thought that was so wonderful that that little boy got the Holy Ghost. The Lord just come in. He's seen the sincerity in their hearts, and they become so interested in it. And the Lord blessed them and give this little boy the Holy Ghost. So I thought of our little boys and girls, and I thought how I would love to see them get the Holy Ghost, because it's a wonderful, wonderful experience.
To get a blessing or anything, I like to. That's my calling, I feel like, just to be a service to God's people, anybody, little kids, big kids, old kids, and whatever. And while I'm helping them, you know, it just kind of blows over to me. And, oh, my God, I mean, I was so thankful that I got a blessing tonight. And speaking of, seems like kids are a subject, Sister Crow made me bring a memory to me. When I was a kid, we were Baptists, and we had been Catholics first and then Baptists. And we had a cat that we wanted to baptize. So we got this big old bucket of water, and we tried to FaceTime. The cat would like, you know, open his legs, never go in. And finally my cousin goes, that's just making a Catholic. So we just sprinkled him and made him a Catholic, you know. So I was like, we were serious then too. And I have always been serious about God. Well, maybe not all the time, but I've always been told and, you know, have put the fear of God in me. Let's put it that way. And so I'm glad that happened to me as a child, because I don't think I would have been here if I hadn't been told about God and constantly say that, you know, you have to reach out and not expect it to happen. Because, I mean, I know I was guilty. A lot of times, sometimes I'd be just sitting there, like Philip was saying, you know, throw something at me. Well, you know, yeah, there's been times that I wanted to do something. Philip, wake up. You know, you're sitting up front. You need to be an example. You know, praise the Lord, whatever. You know, I'm glad he brought that up to attention. Now I'm going to remind him or text him. I can text now. So anyways, thank you for your text, Brother Smith. He texted me today. So I got it. Anyway, back to the, I just feel so thankful. I'm so privileged. I'm so blessed to be in the body of Christ.
Well, this has been good. Brother Dixon, we're sure glad you came. Did you want to say anything? Yeah. All right. Well, we want to invite you to come back. I'm glad Brother. Yes, Brother Crafton's son, he picked him up from work, and was his car stolen? And he works at Staples, and he went over to pick him up. His car was stolen, so he went to pick him up. So before we go, why don't we pray here before we go home? Let's ask God to help him find his car. How many of you believe God can do that? Sure he can. Sure he can. And All right. I feel like I've been to church today, don't you? Praise God. Thank the Lord for this good touch that we got here tonight. All right. Let's ask the Lord to help Brother Crafton. What's your son's name? Jonathan. Yeah, that's it. Let's ask God to help him find his car. Give God a praise for his goodness to you. Oh, God, help Jonathan, Lord. God, help him to find his car. Oh, Lord, work this that your glory would work in it. Oh, God, we pray. Thank you for your goodness to us, Lord, for touching us here tonight. This service and the words and the spirit that we felt. Oh, God, for touching our lives like you've done. Keep touching us, oh, God. Help us with these needs that we've brought before you today. Go with each one, Lord. Direct our steps. Oh, God, keep working in our lives. Don't let us go, Lord. Oh, Jesus, work in our lives. God, work your will. Direct our steps and help us, oh, God, to get closer to you. Amen, amen. We give you praise. All right, shake hands and be friendly tonight before you go home.